13th somewhere, and welcome to Richard and Carl Presents Deep Space and Dragons and Vampire Dragons in Space. I'm Richard, not a vampire.
And I am Carl, also probably not a vampire. I mean, it depends on which iteration of vampire you're talking about, but I don't think I fit most descriptions.
Oh, we're talking other iterations of vampire? So, are you aware of the Moopsie the Bone Vampire?
No, I've never heard of Moopsie the Bone Vampire.
Yeah, I drink bones, but I didn't think that counted.
Before we get too off topic here, what's new with you there, Richard?
Okay, so, as you're aware, you abandoned me for like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? So in my devastating sadness, I have like a little pepper garden on my desk. So I have a flight of different degrees of hot pepper. So I have piri piri peppers, purple chilies, and red hot chili peppers, and a little flight of peppers on my garden.
Okay.
So they're awesome once they grow. Because the thing about a hot pepper is, say you were to grow lettuce, the garbage vegetable eaten by peasants.
Mm-hmm.
You'd need so much lettuce to do something with, right? Because even though a single grain of lettuce will flavor a soup for you, for a regular human, it will not.
Right.
So, but a hot pepper, like a high Scoville pepper, one pepper in your entire pot of stew, flavors the entire thing. It's just an efficient flavor source.
That's true.
So that's new thing the first, is I have a pepper garden. They're amazing, and I love them. Thing the second is I ran a Hunter tabletop RPG session today.
Okay.
So we went through like a full Hunter exam. I had like set up mechanics for NEM powers, conditions, and some of the highlights of the Hunter exam include a thing where you had to slap people with friendship bracelets to have them join your squad, making them wash dishes in front of a restaurant and whoever washes the most advances, having them walk through the desert with no heat. And then people were coming up with their crazy NEM powers, and it's like one player literally transmuted their aura into weed to stone their opponents.
Oh.
And the condition was it only made opponents as high as they were. And another player was an enhancer who enhanced origami paper by like crumpling a ball of paper into a rock. It would make the paper a rock, and they'd hit them with the rock.
And
another player was a truffle hunter with a pet pig as their Nen beast, whose goal was to get a hunter license to hunt truffles because they used to be a cocaine dealer, but truffles are worth more than crack per pound. So this was one of my favorite sessions I've ever run. Like, another party member had a snake, and they would transmute it into a sword, or transmute the sword into a snake. And there's just some good stuff that happened. Because, like, the Hunter exams are just such a good, rich thing for roleplay. Like, the first test was it took place in Fantasy Vegas, basically. And to find the location where the grounds took place, the people with Hunter Association logos had to be bribed 10 grand. So their first mission was to earn 10 grand in Vegas somehow.
Yeah, all right.
And this ends with them selling a Gordon Ramsay inspired character, the Truffles, and them beating up some ninjas and taking their wallets.
Sounds about right.
So it was a good time. So, yeah, I guess the big news with me is I grow peppers. I played a Hunter game. And I've been in full student mode. Which is lovely.
Okay. But during the 2 weeks where I supposedly abandoned you, and you decided to instead go to a flesh and blood tournament, I'm curious how that turned out for you.
So, first off, fantastic Uno relief. 10 out of 10. Appreciate the Uno replay. So, yes, I wasn't sure you were back yet, so I went to two flesh and blood card tournaments while you were gone. The first was a pre-release where you got 4 booster packs to build your deck. I got 2 wins and 2 draws. For my first time playing at a tournament, I'm feeling pretty good about that. Feeling pretty spicy. I got like a whole bunch of promo cold foil cards that look sick. Like I got all the hero cards in a special foil. I pulled some good stuff. And then I did a booster draft. Didn't do as well. I ended up going 3-1. But it's funny because I forgot that. So do you remember in the Resurrection F saga of Dragon Ball Super where Frieza beat the crap out of someone every day for training and a result that person became strong?
Right.
So because Jeremy beats me so often at trading cards, it actually made me pretty strong where I can do pretty good against people in a tournament I've never played competitively before.
Right.
And then Jeremy traded in some cards, picked up a box of cards, and pulled a $300 card. So he's sitting pretty right now.
Right.
It's not just that it was an expensive card. It was that it was a very useful card.
Ah, well, I mean, a $300 card. I mean, you would expect that most cards that expensive would also be useful.
Yeah, so it's effectively, to put into perspective, if it was a magic card, imagine you will, a magic card that costs zero, and every three turns gives you a mana.
Huh, okay.
So, it's not broken, good. It's not insane, but why would you ever not play it?
So right, because it costs zero. Like,
there's hyper-specific chess pieces that are better, but it's like, if you don't have a hyper-specific one that's better, you play this one, because it's just reliably good.
Mm.
Like, for example, there's one that's like, discard the top two cards of your deck to get two energy, that can only be used by robot people. Or there's this one that gives you one energy every three turns. It's worse in that specific situation, but not by that much, because the other one mills you a bit. So it's a good card. Mm-hmm. So, me and Jeremy have been doing a ton of playtesting in between classes to, like, build decks to actually, like, play in more tournaments. Because he hasn't went to any yet, because he's studying astronomy and physics and doing math and doing actual hard schoolwork. Where I'm critiquing Blade Runner and eating candy. Like, my class today was a student workshop, and a student was writing a horror story in the style of a series of crime scene reports.
Okay.
So after we did our workshop, I then started my shift where we proceeded to go to a boardroom and play four-player Flesh and Blood while checking emails.
That does sound like a pretty excellent day.
If any of my bosses are listening, don't fire me. I also did some useful stuff during that time. But yeah, like I think I told you, they made a Battle Royale kit for Flesh and Blood, which is literally a four-player. Everyone picks a deck and they have like extra effects for multiplayer. Like character cards that block for each other specifically. And cards, that like you... So the multiplayer rules is you can only attack the player to your left and your right.
Right.
But then they gave one of the characters a sniper rifle that just ignores that rule. And there's a bard that just gives people power-ups and gifts. And then at the end, basically it's like, they give you a card that lets you pay four to draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is how this card works is they'll give somebody a token. Like they'll give someone a mana or a life or deal an extra one damage as a buff. And they get these tokens and they stockpile a ton of them. And then trade them in to kill you.
Ah.
So their entire strategy is to, like, buff people and have them fight each other until they nuke someone at the end. So for a multi-way kit,
awesome.
They made four very different playstyle decks. Like, one that can guard for people, one that eggs people on to fight, one with a Gundam, and one that's just a ninja. So it's great. 10 out of 10. So yeah, I played cards, I grew peppers, I did a bunch of writing and school stuff. Basically, my life is pretty sweet. But I think your life the last 2 weeks was better. What's new in the Carlverse? Like, mine was pretty sweet. No complaints. But I think you're about to one-up me.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I heard from a certain friend that if you're going to go to the West End Mall, you should go in September because all the kids are back in school.
It was me. I was the friend. I was worried you made another friend and I got spooked. Please continue.
You were indeed the friend.
Perfect writing. Oh, the plot twist got me. Oof.
So my girlfriend, she says that if she works on her birthday, she has a bad day. She always books her birthday off.
I wish I learned that lesson sooner. For the record, that's right. And for years, I just let myself be miserable instead of, you know, not being miserable.
Her job in particular, like, she's worked there for quite some time. She's a care aide of sorts. Not a domestic. I don't remember exactly what title is, but she mostly does like kitchen work as a care aide or as in. Yeah. Anyway,
I think my aunt straight up does that. Not related. But
so. Because she's been there for quite some time, she gets four paid weeks off a year. Which, because she's taking her birthday off anyway, she just schedules the whole week off for her birthday.
Yeah, Carl Fest strategy. I'm familiar.
Right. But so, for her birthday, I decided that we would go to the West Edmonton Mall. Because her nieces live out there. And then we could take them to the water park. And then we went to the dinner theater in the mall on her birthday, and we stayed at the Fantasyland Hotel, which I don't know. I don't think it's worth. I don't think the Fantasyland Hotel lives up to the hype. But
I mean, but you did maybe the that's bit. Just me. Like, it's part of the experience. It's kind of like when we ate at that terrible restaurant at Wonderland. The story it gave us was worth the food poisoning.
The 3-star buffet.
And we're like, well, of course it's 3-star. It's going to be bad. And we're like, no, I don't think we realized it was 3-star in comparison to the rest of Wonderland. Uh-oh.
Okay, so the first day, we went to Edmonton and we went to the water park with nieces and their parents and Megan's sister, I guess.
You
sister
missed
and,
the entire
and partner.
Part of my story. You're not supposed to have children there, but please continue.
Well, so I mean, there were 4 adults and only 2 children.
That's an okay
therefore,
ratio. I'll allow it. That's a good ratio.
So at any given time, there were at least 2 adults that were willing and able to actually have fun. I mean, not that children aren't fun. I do enjoy children, but these children in particular are too short for even the tamest of the water slides at West Ed Mall.
Bummer. Although that does give them hope to want to go back later. Like, it's one of those things, like when you lose to the Mecha Spider in Mega Man X, it encourages you to play more Mega Man X, or in their case, grow taller.
But so the first water slide that I went down was one of the ones where you get into like a pod and then the floor drops out from underneath you. That one was a lot of fun because it's like the anticipation of them counting down and then they drop out the floor and then you're just like, here you go, it's going so fast. The water's like pelting your back as you're slowing down, getting close to the end of the trough.
I mean, to pause for a moment, with someone with a fear of heights, and you recall me having a panic attack on a Ferris wheel, the fact I did that water slide at all is like a highlight of my bravery, because that thing where they go into capsule, like you're going... So there's a scene in Sonic Adventure 2 where Eggman traps Sonic in a capsule and drops him from space. It's that, but the water slide.
Well, so I didn't do the loop-de-loop one.
Coward.
Well, I mean, I was planning on doing it, but I was working up my bravery, so I just did the one that's just a straight drop-drop and then a gentle curve down to the drop.
You also lost your immortality. Now you have something to live for, idiot.
But, so, I went down that one. That one was pretty good. Yeah. But then, the next one I went down, it doesn't look that intense. Because it's just like 3 plateaus and then like drops. And it's like not even like, it doesn't even look like it's that steep. But you get to the end of the first plateau and you drop. And you're like, okay, you're going pretty fast. And then the second one, you get some air and then you drop again. And then the third one, you get more air and then you drop again. And by the time you get to the bottom, you're skipping across the water like a freaking rock.
Yeah.
That one was actually probably my favorite water slide that I went on that day, just because it was just so unexpected.
I do need to pause you for a moment. So because of a conversation in an earlier episode, and because we're not going to tell you what episode, you now have to rewatch all of Deep Space and Dragons. Whenever you say like a rock, I picture Mount Mushroar with Dwayne The Rock Johnson's face carved into it every time. Like when you say like a rock, I just picture The Rock skipping across the lake and it's hilarious every time. He's just like in a, like a car skipping across the river, Fast and the Furious style. It's great.
And then went down the one that has like a it's called the Vortex and has like kind of like a bowl at the bottom and you kind of swirl around and then drop into a 10-foot pool of water. Well, that one's kind of freaky because it feels like it's going to drop you head first into the 10-foot pool of water. But I mean, maybe it does if you don't take it right, but it did drop me feet first, so I was pleasantly surprised. And the last one I went down was called the Blue Bullet.
That sounds familiar, like it's lodged in my psyche in the Vault of Horrors.
Well, it's just a completely enclosed, completely dark water slide, but it's fairly narrow. And it's quite fast. So you can't tell where the turns are coming or where the drops are coming.
So I need to pause for a moment. So, disclaimer, you're one of my best friends. I would give you bone marrow if you needed it. But I really thought you were saying it's quite narrow and I'm quite fat. And I really thought that's where that story was going. But it turned out you said fast. And the mental picture is now gone. But for a moment, it was really funny. Please continue.
I only went about down about half of the big kid water slides, as they say. So I do have something to go back for, because I didn't go down the loop-de-loop one. Firstly, I needed to work up my courage, and secondly, is by the time I had gone down all the other water slides, I was like, yeah, we've been here for quite a while. Plus, the wave pool. The sign says that it has a capacity for 2,000 people.
Yeah, if those people are lemmings. If those people are sardines. If we have those people who shove people onto bullet trains, then maybe.
But, again, you know, going to West Edmonton Mall in September is ideal because I don't think there was even 50 people in the water in the wave pool. But, you know, you go down some water slides and then you have to go and you have to, like, run up against the waves and try and jump over them. And then get yelled at by the lifeguard by staying too, because you're too close to the north wall where the current is too strong and you'll die.
I mean, to be fair, you did want to talk about vampires, so I feel like this is leading up to you, in fact, dying at the water park. Like, that's the natural narrative. Bust. Check off.
No. I survived the water park.
Seems fair.
And then day two, we visited my girlfriend's biological father, and he made us a barbecue and, you know, had some good company. It was a good day.
People to drink their blood, but please continue.
Day three is when we actually, I guess I should step back just one moment here. The West Edmonton Mall Inn is across the street from the West Edmonton Mall. No, if anyone's nice. Familiar with the West Edmonton Mall, the Bourbon Street entrance, I believe it's entrance number 6. That is, like, you go straight out that entrance across the street, West Edmonton Mall Inn.
We both know my sense of directions. You might as well be describing the moon, but
yeah, well, it wasn't for you. It was for the listeners, just in case any of our listeners are familiar with the West Edmonton Mall.
I feel like 100% of our listeners in Germany are familiar with the West Edmonton Mall.
Well, I mean, this is for people who might want to come here because it is the largest mall in North America, depending on how you measure it.
You know, I love Canada. So whenever we have, like, the world somethingest, which is funny because we have all the air and trees, useful things, we'll always be like, if you measure, if you look sideways, if you squint, if the light is at peak, then we're the best at a thing. And we're like, it's just so funny because we don't really build superstructures because we have so much country. Yet we still have a housing crisis, but please continue.
Well, what I mean by that is that the West Edmonton Mall, I believe the number is 3.6 million square feet. The Mall of America is pretty close at 2.6 million square feet. But for some reason, when they measure the Mall of America, they don't include the additional 1.6 million square feet of entertainment district, which is where they have, like, SeaWorld and like theme parks and stuff. So yeah. So it's like I believe that the Mall of America has a larger footprint, but the actual retail space is smaller.
Got it. So, TLDR, they're worse for the earth, but are slightly bigger, i.e. America. For the record, if I accidentally caused Canada to declare war against America through our podcast, I'm not sorry.
But so, the West Edmonton Mall Inn is owned by the same company that owns the mall. And so, if you stay there, at least when we were staying there, you get 2 free passes for the water park or Galaxy Land per night that you stay there.
Nice.
Additionally, if you buy tickets at the front desk, any of the attractions in the mall are 50% off.
They have a pirate ship.
Yeah, so that was a no-brainer. We were going to the water park anyways, and then we were able to use 2 of our passes for me and Megan, and 2 of their passes for her sister and partner. And then we did have to buy 1 pass for one of the kids, and then the other kid is still under 2, so they were free.
Wait. You have 2 children, and you didn't put them in a double-sided dog costume, Full Metal Alchemist style, and bring them in as a security animal? You misplayed.
But so then, on the third night that we were there, we stayed at the Fantasyland Hotel, which is directly in the mall. The Fantasyland Hotel is mostly known for its theme rooms, and each floor is a different theme. So we stayed in the Roman room floor.
Sorry, Roman Empire. It's like, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? Looks around the Roman Empire room. Well, I feel like this is a loaded question today.
The room itself. So, based on the pictures, it looked classy, but not ostentatious. I really feel like most of the other theme rooms are either over the top, or you have to have kids to truly appreciate them because they have cool bunk beds.
Okay.
That's just my personal opinion. Additionally, the West Edmonton Mall Inn was like half the price, came with the free passes, and had 50% off and all the other things. The Fantasyland, no free passes and only 40% off of the attractions if you buy them at the front desk.
I mean, the thing just is, though, because, like, I remember seeing that hotel advertised on YTV, right? It's like, the bit, like, you're doing it for the bit. You're not doing it. It's kind of like when you go and order, like, a food truck thing at the Calgary Stampede or the Expo or whatever. You're not eating the deep-fried pizza bagel wrapped in bacon because you think it'll be good. You're doing it for the bit. And that's my thoughts on Fantasyland, is you're doing it for the bit. Not because you think it'll be a good hotel room. If you want to go to a hotel room, you go to the Manitou Springs with the magic healing water and get the deluxe suite with the in-room hot tub.
That might be one of our other romantic destinations, but we'll see. In any event, I mean, the Fantasyland...
I would bill you for my travel agent services if I wasn't permanently in debt to you.
But, so, I mean, the Fantasyland is an adequate hotel. It's just, it was... overpriced, I feel, compared to the West Edmonton Mall Inn. It just saved us so much money staying at the West Edmonton Mall Inn.
I mean, it makes sense, but it sounds like you had a heck of a week.
Well, see, the thing is, we only spent the 3 days in Edmonton, and then we came back home and spent like 2 days watching movies.
Okay. So, another thing that didn't make into my What's New with Richard. So on Wednesday, we had a potluck Thanksgiving dinner. Me and the college kids. So I brought vegetables, and one of my classmates, Redacted, rolled up with some of the best mac and cheese I've ever seen, and, like, short ribs, and, like, I was not the best cook there. I'm a trained chef. I got third. So it was this fantastic potluck, right? Like, turkey, stuffing, mac and cheese that will kill you from lactose, Nanaimo bars, like, you see, I call them the kids, but they're actually functional adults, and they did good. All of them did good. So for actual Thanksgiving, me and Jeremy ate mac and cheese and watched the new One Piece live action show and drank cider. And honestly, 10 out of 10. Sometimes watching garbage anime on Netflix is the way to be. Like, there's a new season of Kengan Ashura, a new season of Record of Ragnarok, and a new season of Baki. So every no brain cell punch in face show was on full display in all its stupid glory that weekend.
That does sound like a glorious weekend. But so, I mean, this part of the story is actually coming around to the topic of the episode, which
I
is vampire.
You know something. In the time it took for you to get to the topic of the episode, an entire episode of Seinfeld worth of screen time had happened. I just feel the need to explain this because it's so funny to me that an entire episode of Seinfeld fits in. But to counterbalance, only the first part of the 10-part Super Android 17 fight happened. So, you know, like, you're somewhere between the pacing of Dragon Ball and the pacing of a TV sitcom.
Well,
please
so,
continue now that I'm done being mean to my best friend for no reason. One of my best friends. You might be approaching number two place soon. It's been like 2 weeks.
Okay. But, so, one of my coworkers happens to have, I believe it's the remaster from the 80s, but it's a copy of Nosferatu from 1922 on burnt onto DVD.
That is amazing.
And, well, so Nosferatu is, firstly, I always thought Nosferatu was a name. It's not.
It is, however, a spell and fire emblem that seals back HP in his light element. But please continue.
But then, additionally, it's like the cultural concept of Nosferatu. It's like, I feel like you say Nosferatu and everyone kind of knows what you're talking about. But it's like, I didn't know what I was actually talking about. Like, it's like people say Nosferatu. It's like, oh yeah, I've heard of Nosferatu, but like what even actually is Nosferatu? It is a silent film from 1922. I gotta be specific because by 1927, there had already been significant advances in cinema technology that I don't know if I can fairly judge Nosferatu the movie from 1922 because it's just so old and on the cusp of.
What if we poorly dub it and voice it over like Iron Chef?
I mean, maybe. But it's based on Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I know him. He's a bad version of the best Dracula story, Helsing Abridged.
That's not even about Dracula.
Alucard is Dracula backwards. Your dyslexia should be helping you here, not hurting you.
But
Alucard was legit Dracula. That was like the big reveal. Ugh.
I thought, okay, maybe I haven't actually watched all
things. Take the word Alucard and spell it backwards. You can do this.
I thought he was Dracula's son.
No. Alucard's Dracula's son in Castlevania. That was the one with the man-on-man romance scene in the Ball of Zombies. But please, continue.
Well, so, long story short, while I'm not certain that I can...
Are you sure that's what you do? I think you go long story extend, like you're Nioibo-ing this, but please continue.
I did not like Nosferatu.
You didn't like a silent movie from the 1930s? Before
we No. 1922, because as I said, by 1927, they had already invented... Maybe, but by 1927, they had already invented synchronized audio and were starting to use actual voice in cinema. And then silent films were pretty much dead from then on after. I was looking for contemporaneous films to compare it to, because we've talked about how older horror movies, if you just watch them with modern sensibilities, they don't necessarily hold up. But if you kind of view them through the lens of what they accomplished for their time, they can still be cinematic masterpieces.
I can agree with that. And so it's like, I can buy with that. Actually, and also, I have to read a lot of books for my program. So I listen to a lot on Audible on the bus. It turns out to turn a classic movie to a modern one, if you run it at 0.25 or 0.5 speed, it usually gets pretty close to the pacing you'd expect. Because we just have ADHD to our TV entertainment. I blame SpongeBob.
But so it's like, I did not like the original Halloween, for example. But watching contemporary movies to Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Hellraiser. Yeah. It's like, okay, those three movies I actually did enjoy. So I can tell you that it's not just that Halloween is old that I don't like it. Whereas Nosferatu, it's so old that even if you go ahead 5 years, you're already like, it's not even the same cinema landscape.
Like it would effectively be the difference between carving on stone and chewing up papyrus leaves and stomping it into a paper substitute.
So I'm not sure that I can fairly judge 1922's Nosferatu, but that started me on a trail of watching Dracula-inspired movies.
For one moment. You know what would be the funniest plot twist in our entire dynamic? So I went by Vlad for years on account of the leather jacket, the long hair, the shades during the day and night. You know, just my overall vampire-ness. If you were the vampire the entire time, that is just the best joke. The guy on the unicycle with the French horn was the vampire, and the edgy gothy nerd was the regular dude, or was like a pixie or something. That's just beautiful writing. It's like, I was a satyr and you were a vampire this whole time.
But so
please
then
continue. The, count.
The next vampire movie we watched, Dracula movie, we watched was
I enjoy Bram Stoker's Dracula. Specifically Dracula. Because specifically being Dracula is hilarious. I will say about Bram Stoker's Dracula, the lighting effect on the eyes will never not be funny. Because they had two flashlights that just shined on his face and one was slightly off.
Huh.
But please continue.
I didn't necessarily notice. I mean, I did. Gary Oldman plays Dracula in that movie with Keanu Reeves as Jonathan Harker. I think Keanu Reeves was miscast, but...
What? Keanu Reeves was perfect in everything. Movie. How dare you?
I don't think he was perfect for that role.
So how old is this specific Dracula? I'm just trying to, like, keep dates, because Keanu Reeves is also a vampire. This is just canon.
Now I'm going to have to look it up. I think it was in the 90s. You're right that Keanu Reeves probably is. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Bram Stoker's Keanu Reeves.
Not quotes, whatever. 1992.
I was alive, barely.
But that one is a much better interpretation of the story, mostly because in silent films, you can't really create the complex and nuanced characters that you can create in talkies, as they once were called.
I don't know. They did some pretty racist propaganda with Donald Duck without any words.
I'm not saying that you can't do a lot with silent films or animation or whatever, but I'm just saying that when you have to stop the movie to do a screen of dialogue.
Yeah, it's immersion breaking. That's fair. That's the same reason we had issues with Final Fantasy X.
Well, and not only that, but then it's like having a full in-depth conversation, especially with the detail that Bram Stoker himself puts into his conversations. It's mind-boggling.
But I'm going to take a moment and just picture, Wizzy Will, open your mind's eye. Let the ambiance in, let the energy flow through you, and picture, if you will, our podcast in black and white. Silent film will pause for our dialogue screens. How unbelievably funny that would be. Because it would just be me in a headset talking and making hand gestures while playing with a gummy vitamin bottle, and then just a black screen of like 5,000 words of text. And in my brain, in my mind palace, this is beautiful.
And so then from there, I started reading the original book. I'm not quite done it yet, but I mean, I'm pretty sure I know how it's going to end.
What? No way. Ends in a musical number, but didn't make it into the film.
And then we watched Van Helsing from 2004.
Oh, is that the bad one or the good one? I don't remember.
Well, I personally would say it was overambitious, because it starts out with Dracula trying to use Dr. Frankenstein's machine to resurrect his dead children. Anyway.
That's a great premise, to be fair.
And then Van Helsing murders Dr. Jekyll and Hyde, and then there's werewolves, and werewolves are the only thing that can kill Dracula. And
I mean, to be fair, that does give us the Underworld franchise somehow.
I mean, I appreciate their ambition, but even in a two-hour movie, I felt like they were just trying to do too much.
Although I am going to throw out a random sideball here. So you know what was an unexpectedly great movie? And this is going to sound dumb from start to finish, but hear me out. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter was an amazing movie. Because it starts with the premise, like, the title's absurd, and you're expecting, like, Tarantino pulp. But then they, like, somehow actually wove the vampires weirdly well into Abraham Lincoln's story. Like, when he made all the ammunition out of silver was to kill vampires. And, like, it worked way better than it had any right to. And then it ends with, like, Abraham Lincoln's vampire friend approaching Obama, and that's the last scene of the movie. But, like, it was just weirdly good. Like, it shouldn't have been good. But it's like, you know when someone says a joke and you think they're joking, and then they make the full movie, and it's like, wait, this had production value. How? It was like this pitch meeting where it's like, for Sharknado, where the pitch meeting video goes, so, I want to do a tornado of sharks. You have my interest? Oh, thanks for hearing me. Wait, you said yes?
Yeah. And then, so I would definitely say of the ones that I've watched and or read, that Van Helsing was the most interesting take on Dracula, but, like I say, too ambitious.
I don't know. Have you watched the Netflix Castlevania anime?
Oddly enough, I have not.
It is really, really good. So I poke fun of it because it put in absurd scenes out of nowhere.
But right.
The basic premise is Dracula and his scientist doctor wife fall in love and are happy, and then they burn his wife at the stake for being a witch because she used modern medicine. And then he goes on, like, it's like a reverse John Wick, right? Where you're, like, kind of voting for Dracula to wipe out the country because they sort of had it coming.
Right.
And it's just, like, peak entertainment. I can't do it enough justice. You should give it a try. Note, disclaimer, every trigger warning, all of them, apply all of them to the show. Then watch it.
Yeah, okay.
But then they come out too. They did like a time skip and now have like a generation later, JoJo style. JoJo's was not a good vampire series, for the record. It was a good series, but the vampire part just kind of they gave up.
Yeah, they definitely gave up on the vampires.
Chat would like to know if you've watched The Strain.
The Strain?
Yeah.
No.
I am not familiar either. But back to Dracula's. We were talking Bram Stoker before I'm like, hey, did you know that, like, anime exists?
I don't know why I haven't watched Castlevania on Netflix. I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's actually a show and I don't... For whatever reason, I just don't feel like engaging in long-running series. That it's that long-running, but...
I will say, it is a shorter runtime. Like, the first season's like 4 episodes, then it's like 8, then it's like 8 again. Unrelated, apparently The Strain's like a zombie apocalypse, but it's a vampire apocalypse. Huh. Interesting. I will put that in the cap. But yes, we were talking Dracula. But I'm going to do a pause. One of my favorite D&D campaigns I ever ran was Curse of Strahd. Like, it's just Dracula. Curse of Strahd is just the movie Dracula. Straight up, 10 out of 10. 100% direct copy. If it ain't broke, don't drink it.
Okay. Curse of Strahd is definitely an interesting campaign. And also, like you say, very, very heavily inspired by Dracula.
It just is. Like, if you just change Strahd to Dracula, nothing changes in the setup at all.
But then the last Dracula movie that we watched was a newer one. I don't remember if it came out this year or last year. I think it came out this year. It's called Renfield.
Okay.
And it's less the story of Dracula and more one of the characters from the book was named Renfield. And instead of dying as he does in the book by getting his face smashed into the ground by Dracula, he becomes Dracula's servant, and then when Dracula dies, he finds victims to bring him back to full power, and he's just an immortal servant that keeps bringing Dracula back. And he goes to an emotional support group for toxic relationships.
I love that. Oh, that's good.
Initially it's to find victims because the people who are being abused, he feeds their abusers to Dracula. But then he realizes that he's in a toxic relationship.
Abusers to Dracula. I'm back on board.
But then he realizes he's in a toxic relationship with Dracula. And then tries to use the support group to help get out of his funk, I guess.
I love that. Like, vampire movies make me happy.
But it was so funny to me when it happened in the movie, because Renfield, he decides to get a new wardrobe and he gets a studio apartment. And then Dracula has enough power that he's able to leave his lair and go find Renfield's studio apartment. And Renfield put a welcome mat outside of his door that says, "Welcome, come on in." So then he opens the door and Dracula's just sitting at his table. It's like,
that's amazing.
But in terms of people who played Dracula, that one is Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yes.
And he was made for that role.
So I'm going to put this out there, because this is a fun thing to experiment. People that would make sense as vampires. First place we all agree is Nicolas Cage, right? Like, on the top of the list of people who are most likely a actual vampire. Like, Nicolas Cage, then me, then Keanu Reeves. Like, Nicolas Cage is a very top vampire contender.
Jared Leto, also a very top vampire. Like, I'm pretty sure that Morbius is just the story of Jared Leto's life.
Morbius might be the worst vampire movie ever made. Like, there's a distinct possibility. Even though he does fire a bad Hadouken at somebody, it may in fact be the worst vampire movie. You know what movies I cannot tell you anything about, even though I watched all of them?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you anything about the Underworld franchise. I've watched all of them. Oh. I can't tell you anything about them. I just remember machine guns, vampires, and werewolves.
Ah. I mean, that makes sense. I'm pretty sure that's all there is to those movies, is machine guns, vampires, and werewolves.
I mean, I love it. I'm not critiquing. I just don't recall it. Like, I'm just trying to think. Like, there's so many vampire things I've seen over the years. Like, Record of the Angsty Vampire. Oh, that was one of my favorite vampire stories because, like, it starts, like, generic anime and just goes into, like... I've never been more thrown for a loop by, like, a series structuring where it ended with vampires killing aliens by terraforming the moon. And I'm like, we got here. We got here, and it made sense that we got here. It really did. But we got here.
That is true. Starts out with people trying to hunt Strauss, who is the best vampire.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. apparently got a recommendation to watch What We Do in the Dark and a new movie called Pinocchio, the Vampire.
Pinocchio, the Vampire?
And apparently What We Do in the Dark is apparently really good.
What We Do in... I wonder... I don't think that's on our list of horror movies to watch, but it probably... Maybe it should be. What We Do in the Dark.
I think that one's a series, though.
Ah.
But moving on to, like, Vampire. So, Record of the Angsty Vampire. Fantastic. Weird flex pick. One of my first mangas I actually, like, actively seeked out in real life. Mm. Like, I shelf-read that back in my Cineplex ways. Apparently it's not Pinocchio, it's Pinochet, who I don't know who that is. Chat, I'm going to need an explanation of this movie. But moving on to vampires, what is one of your favorite random vampire things, be it anime, video game, movie? Like, what's a weird flex? Like, what's a weird vampire thing you enjoyed?
A weird vampire thing I enjoyed.
Okay, so apparently his Pinochet is in The Bad Chilean Man, and it's a movie about him being a vampire.
Hmm.
So I do enjoy one that was just Nazi vampires exploding that I watched on, like, at 2 in the morning on some channel sometime. I really don't even remember what the movie was about, but they killed Nazi vampires. But yeah, what's just, like, a random vampire thing that comes to mind?
Well, I don't even really know.
Because, like, Record of the Angsty Vampire is probably my most, like, I recommend this weird thing to you about vampires. Vampire Night was terrible. I still kind of stand by the toxic trash romance that was Midnight Secretary.
Mm.
Mock me as you will for my taste in adult women's manga. It was a compelling story. Honest and for true. Also, it was an manga that featured adults, which at the time was really rare for me to find.
Fair enough. Most of my horror movie watching... or just general, like, more gory type movies. Because I guess just a trigger warning for Renfield. It is campy and gory. Like, Renfield rips some guy's arms off and then spears two other people with the arms. So it's...
Okay. So chat brings up a question. Why is it that curtains will protect a vampire, but just full body clothing won't? Or umbrellas? Or a very big hat? And I immediately go to Blade, where the guy covers himself in sunscreen and just fights Blade in the middle of the day. That felt correct to me. What are your thoughts? Can vampires just wear big hats?
I believe it depends on your interpretation. The original Dracula, he is in fact able to go out during the day, but he does... he steals someone's clothes to impersonate them and drop off letters to make it seem like they're not dead in the castle, so...
Man, he was the original girl boss gaslighter.
who's the original girl boss gaslighter? What?
Dracula was. Don't worry about it.
Oh.
He was so good at gaslighting people. Don't even. He'd be like, I'm not a current vampire. You're crazy. It's like, you literally turned into bats. It's like, would you like some tea? You seem very perturbed, sir. Like, you're bats!
Okay, here is a random vampire fun fact.
Ooh.
1992, Bram Stoker's Dracula. Gary Oldman plays Dracula.
Who is not the same as Ron Perlman.
No. Gary Oldman is the same character who plays Commissioner Gordon in Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight series.
Okay, okay. Unrelated, I had a DVD I bought at garage sale that was Batman versus Dracula. Okay. It was like one of the, like, not the original anime series, like the second anime series, The Batman. It was great. Because, like, literally, it's just Batman versus actual Dracula. And I'm like, wow, that's just peak TV. 10 out of 10.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't think I could, in good conscience, recommend reading Dracula to anyone. Because it's so old that it's incredibly difficult to read.
Is it public and domain?
This is why I say it's incredibly difficult to read. I'm reading an ebook version of it that I rented from the app I'm using is called Libby.
Whatever.
Yeah, you choose whatever library is closest to you that you have a library card for, and then you can rent ebooks that they have a license to rent out. And it has a built-in dictionary. So I'm reading Dracula, and I come upon a strange word that I've never seen before, and I don't really like. I define it contextually because that's generally what I do when I see a new word. And then I come upon another word I don't know, and it's like, oh, wait a second, I'm reading an ebook. I can just define this. So I define it, and then I come upon another word that I don't know, and it's not in Libby's dictionary. I mean, you can Google search it. It is a defined word. It's a real word, obviously. He didn't just make it up. So he's using words. Bram Stoker uses words that are just so archaic that the library app doesn't think that you'll come across them.
That's so funny to me. Because, like, I read some old stuff. Like, I did, like, Welsh poetry. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But, man, oh, man. Like, trying to read, like, old English is not the same language.
Well, and then there are some scenes where people have accents or they're speaking a different dialect, which, you know, people can English can be understood through different dialects for sure, like most languages. But he misspells the words to give you a better sense of how the character is actually speaking.
Like spelling and pirate so then, with a Y.
Well, more like incorrectly pirate. Spells a lot of words.
Pirates aren't and literate, so, then, so it's spelled with a Y. Keep up.
You're reading this other dialect of English, and then they say a word that you don't know, and you can't spell it because it's spelt wrong. I mean, it's an enjoyable book. I'm enjoying it, but I don't think I'd recommend it. And after watching Van Helsing in particular, where it is like there was Dr. Frankenstein and Jekyll and Hyde, it's like I almost want to read those classic books because they're supposed to be literary masterpieces that influenced like
everything
Western literature. But at the same time, I'm a little bit like hesitant because I don't know exactly how old they are. But if they're as old as Dracula, they're probably going to be hard to read.
So, I mean, as funny as Creative Commons stories, I can legally just rewrite to be more readable. Like, that's within my rights as an author. So I'm like, clearly I just turned Bram Stoker's Dracula into a rap musical for you.
Well, the other thing, as just a random tangent, I almost want to, if I had the ability to time travel, I would almost want to time travel back to the end of the 19th century. Because the prose, the dialogue, I guess, that the characters are saying, it's so verbose and like this. They say so much, and they use such intense metaphors
Please
and big words.
Please tell me you're not
like
about to travel back in time to line edit these people.
Not to line it at the people. I'm curious if people actually spoke like that. Because, like 10-minute passionate speeches, like, every, like, two or three pages.
I mean, you're friends with me, so it's not impossible. Like, I'm the kind of person who will go to Tim Hortons and give a 10-minute impassioned speech about how global corporatization has corrupted a Canadian brand. You're like, I just wanted an apple fritter. But you do you, pal. Injustice. Yeah,
I'm just curious if people actually spoke like Bram Stoker writes their dialogue, because it's
a good question.
It doesn't necessarily seem unnatural, but
I hear what you're saying. Like, the thing is, like, I write pretty accurate to how I think, and they get told it's grammatically wrong, so it's tough to say, really. All right, and with that, we don't have a ton of time left. We talk vampires. I snuck in some Hellsting. They're talking about Striegels in class and Romanian folklore in chat, but we're going to move to our random question of the week.
More like random question of the month.
I blame both of us. That's fair. We could be better. We're not exactly the best step parents to our audience. So, our random question. What would the title of your autobiography be?
What would... Oof.
I know what mine would be. I've put too much thought into this.
You've put too much thought into it? That's the name of your autobiography?
Nope. My autobiography would be, I couldn't release this till my mother died. The Richard
You sure
story.
That's not the name of your sex tape?
I'm going to kill you. I'm going to drain your blood and drown you in it. No, disclaimer, I am not actually going to kill Carl. If Carl disappears under mysterious circumstances, I blame Halloween.
Deep cut reference to the Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Indeed. However, it would probably be something like, I don't know the exact wording, but I literally keep making the joke that I can't release my autobiography till after my mom dies. So I'd probably make a play on that one, because she would just explode. But another one I enjoy is growing up white, privileged, and disabled.
I think I would probably just call mine Ignorance is Bliss. And the reason for that...
Is that your noble phantasm?
Well, maybe. There was one time when I was in elementary school. I was in elementary school, and some older kids came up to me, and they're like, hey, I'm verbatim, you should eat some shit. And I'm like, no. And they're like, well, we'll pay you like $5. And I'm like, no. And I walk away. And then this other kid comes up to me, and he's like, I saw you were getting bullied. Sorry, man. And he hands me this Spider-Man action figure because he felt bad that I was being bullied. And I didn't realize I was being bullied. Like, they asked me to eat feces, and I said no, and I walked away. Like, is that bullying?
No, that's you hit freaking enlightenment. That is what Buddha is trying to teach. Is you just were not attached to their worldly concerns, and you took them at face value, and it defeated, like, if there was negativity, it didn't work, but maybe there wasn't.
But so, I mean, I honestly, I feel like a lot of my life is like that, where it's like, I'm not sure if I was bullied as a kid. Maybe I was just ignorant, and people around me were actually assholes.
That's amazing. But I'm going to make us do another random question, because you're right, we've been gone for like a month.
Okay.
This one's really good, I like this one. If extraterrestrials landed on Earth and offered to take you to a place of your choosing, where would you take them as their first site on Earth that you know?
Wait, I'm a tour guide for extraterrestrials?
Yeah,
that's the point of the question?
Specifically, where are you taking them?
Okay. Let's see.
Let's go like they abduct you into the ship and be like, cool, where are we going? And you can fly wherever invisible.
Well, first things first, I have to drum up an image of what these aliens actually look like, right?
Let's go like the Asgardians from Stargate. classic gray white men guys.
Okay. So
OG aliens, the ones that are in like the Strange Humans comics, you know, the ones.
Where would I take them that I know? I would probably take them to see Mount Rushmore. Everyone needs to see Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, that boomerang joke was delightful.
I mean, no, but in all seriousness, I would probably actually take them to see tourist attractions that I myself had not actually seen and be like, oh, yeah, let's just go to the Grand Canyon. It's just over there. And they'd be like, all right.
Like, as much say as
they'd be like, they would be like, oh, what's so great about the Grand Canyon? And then I would make a terrible, terrible joke.
Nice.
I'm not sure if I can say it on air. That's so, nice. Oh, I shouldn't laugh at it.
That's so good. I'd probably take them to Vancouver Island to be like, look how beautiful Earth is. I like find them over the nice parts of BC and things to like prepare them. Like, look how beautiful this planet is before then having to take them to our stupid idiot parliament. So I'd be like, look at this beauty, these nature. This is a grizzly bear. That's a red panda. It's so beautiful. Look at all this unspoiled wilderness. So this is Ontario. And I'm like, I should probably introduce you to, like, I guess our people who run our stupid country. But first, like, let's go get s'mores. You like s'mores? Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd like put off showing them our centers of humanity as long as possible, because that's what's going to ruin their impression of us. Apparently, chat says the British Museum is where to not take where to take them.
The British Museum. Well, I mean, they do not. They don't really seem to be imperialists. So
fair. And I think we'll do one more mystery question and wrap things up.
Okay.
What is your favorite plant?
My favorite plant.
This feels like a loaded question. You are in Canada.
Well, I mean, marijuana isn't my favorite plant. That is for sure. It's not.
Offensive to the marijuana. That was a Nen power in our Hunter Hunter session. It did wonders.
I mean, but...
What? You're going to say tea leaves and I'm going to say you're full of nonsense? You're going to say lettuce? We know that's a lie. It's certainly not cilantro. Aspirin's that's pretty definitely killer, though.
Well, okay. I mean, I've never really thought about. I've never really categorized how I like plants. Like, it's just.
Are you even civilized?
I would say off the cuff that I think the Venus flytrap is one of my favorite plants, because carnivorous plants are amusing. But I mean, that also, I don't know, it seems too easy.
So, as I mentioned for my beloved pepper garden, the app that comes with my garden makes me name my plants so I can track them. And one of my plants is the Piri Piri, specifically is Leah the Piri Piri. And that's probably my favorite plant at the moment because it will kill me. It is too hot on the squirrel scale. I will die when I eat that plant. But a Piri Piri plant is just such a like devil fruit name for a plant. Like, there's no way eating a Piri Piri fruit won't give me powers.
Mm.
So, my pepper garden is my favorite plant at the moment. Rest in peace, Basil. You did a good job. So we have 1 minute left. Do I want to sneak in one last random question? Because we've been gone for a month.
Well, I mean, if you have another quick one, I'm all for random questions.
Yeah, we've been receiving weekly questions. Here's the final one. Drum roll. What would be your campaign slogan if you were running for office?
What would be my campaign slogan if I were running for office? Huh. That is... I thought this was going to be a quick one, but that's tough.
30 like, seconds. Go.
I really appreciated Justin Trudeau's original campaign where he was talking about how he wasn't going to do attack ads. And I appreciated how he was actually just talking about what his actual platform was. I mean, it doesn't necessarily make people think that you're more honest, but my campaign slogan would probably have something to do with being honest. honestly driven or something like that.
But. I kind of really enjoy Carl, ignorance is bliss, as your campaign slogan. mine would probably be vote for me, I'm smarter than you. Or I'm not like a socialist, I am a socialist. Or like, you know, like tax vacant homeowners 3%, therefore causing our housing crisis to collapse. You know, something like that. Something catchy.
Something catchy.
But yeah, with that, I think we're wrapping up. Chat likes to say one of their favorite plants are the bonsai, which is really more a practice than a plant, but you end up with a cool plant friend. And thank you everybody for tuning in with your ear eyes or your eye ears. If you have synesthesia, I really hope we have a trippy color palette. Hopefully Deep Space and Dragons will be back when we feel like it. I make books. If you buy them, I can eat. We might stream this weekend, maybe? I don't know, but I want to.
I mean, I think we're probably going to be streaming this weekend, but unless something comes up for you, like maybe another Flesh and Blood tournament.
You're just mad you're not here with me. Wait, no, that's me. I'm mad you're not here with me. And lastly, Kirby. It's a name you should know.
I mean, it's not the name of the show, though.
Bye. I really thought you were going to just chain day Kirby is the star of the show and we do like a whole thing because he's more than you think. He's got maximum pink.
No. Well, see the version of Kirby right back at you. The version of Kirby right back at you that I watched was in Japanese. So I never actually learned the.
But his eyebrows weren't as angry. Oh, good stuff.